Chapter 2. Given a Chance. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. My dad was preaching in a remote village in the Philippines in 1986. As the Jesus film played on a large homemade screen hanging between two coconut trees, he became heavily burdened by the millions of babies being aborted in America. While weeping over the gigantic loss of human life, my dad began to pray. "Father, if you want another preacher in this world, you give him to me. You give me Timmy, and I will raise him to be a preacher." Dad returned home to Mindanao, Philippines, where our family was living. And the next morning at breakfast, he told our family about his prayer and invited them to join him in praying for Timmy. At first, Mom was not as excited as my four siblings, but after a few days, she began praying along with the rest of my family, for me, Timothy, which means honoring God. From the start, it was a difficult pregnancy with a great deal of pain and bleeding. A number of times they were certain they had lost me. Mom and Dad went to the best doctor in their area of Mindanao and listened to her lay out their options, in her opinion, for how to save my mom's life. After examining my mother, the doctor spoke in a slow monotone. "An abortion is the only way to save your life." According to her, the mass of fetal tissue, or a tumor, me, had to go. That is how the doctor viewed me, simply a mass of fetal tissue. It was not an isolated view then, and it isn't an isolated or novel view today. Or maybe she just called me that to toughen us up for the names I would be called the first time I played at LSU. My parents walked out of her office, shocked and a bit numb, but resolute in what course they would take. My mom's strongest recollection of those moments, which must have been overwhelming for her, was an unexpected and indescribable peace. God's peace, she later told me, is what sustained her through the pain, bleeding, and uncertainty of the next 8 months of her pregnancy. Miraculously, later on in the pregnancy, a surprise blessing occurred. The bleeding subsided, leaving her able to fly, along with my siblings, to Manila. There, at the Makati Medical Center, she met with an American-trained doctor. It was the first time she'd seen a doctor since the mass of fetal tissue consultation. In the delivery room, my parents tell me that I entered the world without much fanfare, followed immediately by a blood clot that was bigger than I was. The attending physician spoke first to my dad. "Mr. Tebow, your child is a miracle baby. I can't explain how it happened, but despite all odds, he beat them. Only a small part of the placenta was attached, but it was just enough to keep your baby nourished all these months." My mom, dad, and family were so grateful for my safe arrival and thanked the Lord for His protection of both my mom and me. But the drama was not over yet, for either of us. That first week, I lost weight instead of gaining it and had to remain in the hospital. My parents asked our friends and family in America to pray that I would grow big and strong. I guess their prayers were answered. Mom also struggled physically and needed ongoing care. The staff at Makati Medical Center provided the expert care both of us needed. Mom had surgery when I was a week old, and she finally began to recover after the health challenges of many months. The doctor told my parents that if we had not come to Manila, Mom probably would not have survived my birth. We are all grateful Mom survived the pregnancy and childbirth. We have met families whose mothers gave their lives in childbirth for the lives of their children. We also know of children who went through normal pregnancies as well as difficult ones and did not end up thriving or even surviving the birth process at all. My parents knew that Mom might not survive, but they trusted God with her pregnancy. Trusting God is how they started their marriage and how they have continued to this day. My dad always tells us that faith is like a muscle. You trust God for the small things, and when He comes through, your muscle grows. This enables you to trust God for the bigger things, in fact, all things. And while they waited for me to be born, my mom and brothers and sisters would sing Bible verses together. Mom always believed that putting verses to tunes helped us to learn and retain them. Later, they taught me these verses as well. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word do I hope. Psalm 27:14, 130:5. My unusual birth story has been important to our family for many reasons. Of course, we are so grateful that God's plan included Mom's and my survival. It also provided a deeper connection to one another, since all my family prayed specifically for me. The story has also given us a platform to share with others a variety of spiritual applications, including the faithfulness of God. And the fact that it all occurred in the Philippines made the land and its people all the more meaningful to us. My story really began when my parents met at the University of Florida. They got married after they graduated and headed off to grad school to prepare for ministry. In 1976, they moved back to Jacksonville, Florida, where Dad had several ministry positions and Mom had four children. While Dad was pastoring a church, he went on a mission trip to the Philippines, and he fell in love with the Filipino people. Not long after he returned, both Mom and Dad sensed a clear calling from the Lord to return there as missionaries. In October of 1985, Dad, Mom, and my siblings, Christy, Katie, Robbie, and Peter, who were 9, 7, 4, and 1 respectively, left Florida for the Philippines. God had not even put the smallest thought in my dad's or mom's mind about me. After living in Manila for a month, my family moved to General Santos City on the more primitive southern island of Mindanao. It was tough for my mom when they first arrived, with the many challenges of a new culture, very little contact with friends and family, and homeschooling four young children, while Dad immersed himself in ministry, traveling throughout the islands preaching and planting churches. My first couple of years living in the Philippines were much more uneventful than the circumstances and events surrounding my birth. At least they were for me, anyway. I guess that my sister Katie was responsible for some of that, as she was acting as my second mom, even though she was only 8. She insisted on carrying me everywhere I went. At the time, I was growing and gaining weight quickly, which was probably a result of all those prayers on my behalf. Poor Katie. She ended up having to have surgery for a double hernia before we returned to the States, which everyone, to this day, blames me for.